The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast, and I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, managing editor of crypto for Bloomberg News. It's Thursday, September 1st. BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, teamed up with the crypto exchange Coinbase in a move that both Wall Street and crypto types are watching pretty closely. BlackRock says the partnership will help clients more easily manage and trade their Bitcoin. It's a deal that comes at an interesting time for Coinbase, which posted a record $1.1 billion loss for the second quarter of 2022. The company's shares have fallen at least 50% this year, but of course they rallied right after that partnership was announced because people were excited about the prospects for them.
Coinbase's shares have gained almost more than 40% over 3 days. So you're really seeing some of the gains come back to Coinbase, a stock that's down still more than 60% this year.
Coinbase has also been facing a decent amount of regulatory scrutiny on multiple fronts. For more on this latest Wall Street foray into crypto, I'm joined by Bloomberg reporters Yuichi Yang.
This BlackRock deal is really a validation to show that Coinbase is still very much a giant in the industry.
And Scilla Brush.
So it was essentially an effort to kind of bring into the BlackRock sort of technology fold Bitcoin alongside all these other assets.
Yuichi, welcome back to the podcast. And Scilla, first-time guest, looking forward to have you on more. So one of the things I was not necessarily expecting over the past couple of months was perhaps the rate of, I wouldn't quite call it a détente, but at least the willingness of extremely traditional Wall Street firms, large, very large, and gigantic, to engage with crypto in different ways. And one of the most recent examples that we've had about this is, you know, something you've both covered in different ways, which is, you know, BlackRock teaming up with Coinbase to offer kind of a range of different sorts of services to institutional investors. And Scilla, before we go too much into what that partnership says, can you just explain to people what BlackRock does, why, and why they're such a big deal?
So BlackRock has $8.5 trillion under management at the moment.
That's trillion with a T.
It's the world's largest money manager, and it does products pretty much ranging the gamut from, you know, the most sort of index benchmark exchange-traded funds, things tied to the S&P 500, all the way through pretty customized hedge funds and private equity. They're also, you know, since their founding, they've been heavily involved in technology that analyzes risk in financial markets. And they kind of use it for the backbone of both their business as well as for their clients. So clients kind of can use their technology to analyze risks across their portfolios. So they're a massive firm. They're across markets. They're across geographies. And they're heavily involved in kind of the backbone technology of financial markets.
And why are they now involved in crypto?
So, I mean, I think BlackRock has been watching crypto and digital asset markets, much like many players in the financial industry. And, you know, if you go back a few years ago, they were quite reluctant, like many sort of traditional financial players, to actually jump into crypto markets. And they basically say that they're acting now in response to demand that they see from their big institutional clients. So when their clients want to get into digital assets, namely and specifically Bitcoin in their case, you know, they kind of feel like they have a business in kind of meeting their clients where they want to go.
And Yuichi, what's in this for Coinbase?
So this is really a much needed validation for Coinbase, a company which has been through a lot, especially headwinds so far this year, we know that Coinbase laid off 18% of staff. Their stock has been dropping along with the collapse of crypto prices. They also had to navigate some regulatory uncertainty with their products. And we know that they've disclosed certain investigations by the SEC. So for a long time, I think the news that we've covered for Coinbase is really just negative for the company. And this BlackRock deal is really a validation to show that Coinbase, as the biggest U.S. crypto exchange, is still very much a giant in the industry, is able to sign on the biggest companies from other industries, BlackRock, including, and then Meta, the parent company of Facebook, is another example to help them get on board with the crypto economy.
So from Coinbase's perspective, and you know, to your point about this is good news for them, I think their shares were up like 15% on the day when this news was announced. So Coinbase is getting institutional credibility from having a partnership with, as Scylla explained, the biggest asset manager or money manager in the world. And, you know, Scylla, like BlackRock is getting kind of crypto cred, right? You've got this very large, very established Wall Street giant now able to offer exposure and access to its institutional clients in a way that feels less risky, perhaps, than some of the alternatives. But what specifically is this partnership about? Like, what does it enable them to do?
There were two developments in the last month or so. The first is a partnership with Coinbase that allows clients of both companies to use BlackRock's technology, which is called Aladdin, to essentially monitor their risk and their exposures to Bitcoin alongside all the other kind of assets, stocks and bonds, derivatives, other kinds of assets that they have in their portfolio. So it was essentially an effort to kind of bring into the BlackRock sort of technology fold Bitcoin alongside all these other assets. And it was a partnership that then allows clients to kind of monitor their exposures at BlackRock and then also use Coinbase to trade Bitcoin. The second announcement was a BlackRock product, a private trust product that allows large institutional investors to invest in Bitcoin.
And Yuichi, you know, one of the things you've been reporting on, obviously, is, you know, Coinbase earnings over the past several quarters and months. And you noted in the story that you and Scylla worked on that institutional investors accounted for about 3/4 of overall Coinbase trading volume in Q1 of 2022. And that trading volume was, you know, upwards of $300 billion. So Coinbase clearly has an existing institutional user base. But this is also a way for them to allay some of the concerns elsewhere on Wall Street about the fact that their retail business seems to be stagnating a little bit.
Right. Well, even though institutional users make up the majority of the trading volume on Coinbase, Coinbase still generates most of its revenue from retail users. And the company management noted during their earnings call that they're still expecting retail users to sit on the sideline during the following quarter, just because we're still pretty much in a downturn in the crypto market. And usually during crypto winter, retails are more less encouraged or just not participating as much with trading and investing in crypto. So Coinbase is indeed a well-recognized name among the institutional players, especially in the US. They're the first public company that gives them a lot of credibility. But then at the same time, we also recently wrote a story about the declining market share of Coinbase on a global level. And the reason being that Coinbase doesn't have derivatives products offering to the retail investors. And then a lot of the crypto trading volumes are in the derivative space. So that means that those volumes are mostly being done over at exchanges abroad.
So So this is kind of, you're describing something that in analyst speak would be a combination of headwinds and tailwinds. They have some stuff going for them and some things that are a little bit more challenging. I want to go back to what you mentioned, though, about, you know, Goldman Sachs having previously done some work with Coinbase, because it sounds to me like one of Coinbase's ambitions has really to become like the go-to for Wall Street. Like if Wall Street is going to do a crypto thing, they should come do a crypto thing with Coinbase. Are there any other crypto companies that are trying to challenge that ambition?
Well, I would say FTX in the US will be another key player. FTX US also has been investing a lot in the US market. They started from overseas market, but they've since launched in the US. They actually also recently expanded into equities trading, which is their attempt to capture a broader base of users, including the meme stock retail investors. So they're seen as another strong competitor in the US.
Up next, you'll hear more from Bloomberg Reporters Yuichi Yang and Scylla Brush about the Wall Street partnership that's trying to bridge the gap between TradFi and DeFi.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Partnering with Coinbase to make it easier for institutional investors to manage and trade Bitcoin. But remember,
and Scylla, I want to go back to, you know, the second part of the BlackRock deal, which is this private trust that you mentioned. There's a quote in or a reference in the story that you wrote about this that said, you know, Larry Fink, who's the CEO of BlackRock, said up to 4 years ago, he just hadn't heard of any interest from clients seeking exposure to crypto. That's obviously changed enough for them to be offering this right now. You report on lots of different major institutional investors, asset managers. What are some of the to use a word we like to use here, like what's the vibe shift that you're getting in terms of why these folks are increasingly comfortable with and why their clients are increasingly interested in this asset class?
Relative to Bitcoin, I think many larger traders feel like it is on relatively sure footing or more stable footing than maybe some of the other smaller tokens in the digital market. So where you see the greatest interest from maybe the biggest, most established traditional financial players are in those areas, those products which are on that kind of sure financial and regulatory footing. I don't think it's a shock that Bitcoin is the one that, you know, people are most comfortable with. And there's those couple factors, I think, that make the vibe feel different now, even in the depths of whether it's, you call it crypto winter or just the meltdown that we've seen in crypto markets this year. Like, I think, you know, so many people's initial reaction this year was like, that's interesting, but like, why now? Like, the market has plunged. And I think the answer to that is about this kind of shift in mindset that some large financial players have had, in the sense that like the regulatory setting is sort of more comfortable and sure now for at least some products than it was 3, 4, 5 years ago. There are more traditional institutional players in the market, so there's a kind of critical mass effect. And that's sort of why the vibe does feel different, at least relative to certain digital assets.
Yuichi, one of the, you know, kind of storylines that you've been reporting out, and, you know, we've sort of written several stories about this, is the kind of this revolving door of folks leaving traditional Wall Street firms and banks and asset managers, going to crypto, starting their own thing in crypto, joining crypto companies, sometimes going back to those more traditional places, or, you know, starting a crypto thing in those more traditional places. Is there anything that you've observed in your reporting about the culture of these crypto companies that pose either opportunities or challenges in these more traditional partnerships?
That's a good question. I think even within the crypto industry, there's such a vast range of different types of companies, each with their different culture. So it's really hard to just characterize them in one way. But I think in general, we know that the traditional finance industry is heavily regulated, and mm-hmm. the executives there are very much used to playing by rules and getting clearance for everything that they do or everything they say, for example. And then when they join the crypto companies, we know that the industry is still very much exploring a lot of services and how they promote themselves. And then they're in talks with regulators to figure out the rules. So it's a work in progress. And we've heard of executives talking about how after they switch to crypto companies, they now have to learn how to talk directly on Twitter, for example, and to send out long tweet threads and as their main form of communication, which is very different from what they used to do, which would have been getting approval from a communication person, sending out a press release, etc. So I think there are cultural changes that they have to adapt to, but then at the same time, crypto companies differ from each other. Working at Coinbase will give you a very different experience than working for some of the crypto startup.
Thank you, Yuichi, and thank you, Scylla. You can find more of Yuichi and Scylla's reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal, on Bloomberg.com, or follow them on Twitter. Yuichi is at Yuichi_Yang. That's YUEQI_YANG. And Scylla is at SABrush, BRUSH. On the next episode of Bloomberg Crypto, why is there an image of a whale on the sleeves of the official uniform of the Chelsea Football Club? Why does a drone racing league need a crypto sponsor? And can crypto companies even afford to continue to spend billions of dollars of advertising in a market downturn?
Crypto companies have committed $2.4 billion or more on sports marketing just over the past 18 months.
We'll talk about all of this in the latest episode on crypto advertising and sports. This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your comments, questions, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net. Or find us on Twitter, we're at crypto. The supervising producer of Bloomberg Crypto is Vicky Vergolina. Our senior producer is Janet Babin. Our producers are Mohammed Farouk and Sharon Bariro. Our associate producers are Zanab Siddiqui, Ty Butler, and Moses Andam. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.